Luke chapter 16. Look at verse 13, Luke 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. That's a complete paragraph there, explaining way too much to deal with in one sermon. So I'm just going to focus on that middle verse there, verse 15. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Even this verse has three very full phrases in it. That one which I just read, then it says, But God knoweth your hearts, and you ought to consider that God knows your hearts. And that deserves a full treatment itself. And then the third thing, which is so astonishing, for that which is highly esteemed among men is less highly esteemed? Abomination. I wonder how many things you really love that God finds abominable. But I'm not going to preach on that one either. Because there's a whole lot there too, you know, and it deserves full treatment. I just want to deal with this one statement, justify yourselves before men. Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, meaning some people don't justify themselves before men. There's a different type of justification, which is much better. But Jesus is pointing out, some people justify themselves before men. And then he says, but God knows your hearts. Just the fact that he said, but, right after it, is telling you you're wasting your time. Obviously, there's something wrong with justifying yourselves before men. And so, I'd like to just simply try to organize our thoughts about what he's saying here. First of all, notice the obvious, then notice the mistakes, and then notice the insanity of what they're doing. Okay? First, the obvious. If you're justifying yourselves before men, you're justifying yourself, and justify implies what? Guilty. Somebody said guilty. Actually, if you're justifying yourself, you know, you really haven't judged yourself guilty yet. But you're correct. It implies sin. It implies something negative, something done wrong. Otherwise, you wouldn't be justifying yourself. Why justify yourself if you've done everything right? And, you know, it also implies that there's an accusation. Because you don't justify yourself if nobody's accusing you. Nobody notices, you know. You don't justify who you justify. Why are you justifying yourself? Unless somebody says, hey, you did that and you shouldn't be doing that. And so then you justify yourself because somebody accused you. And then third, it also implies that there are some consequences because you don't even care to justify yourself. If nobody else cares and there's nothing to be done about it, I mean, who cares? You know? It's just a big who cares. It's, you know, like a big gotcha for no reason. So you imply, well, Jesus implies that these Pharisees had done something wrong, that they recognized that they had done something wrong and sensed the accusation and had some reason to fear that something negative would happen to them. That's why they're justifying themselves. Now, this is exactly your situation. You are a sinner. You recognize that you're a sinner. Most people recognize that they're a sinner. And that's the reason why you try to justify yourself. This is the obvious. You're justifying yourself Because you're a sinner. Because you've done wrong. Because you're not living right. You justify yourself. You have all sorts of arguments to justify yourself. And all that means is that you are admitting that you have a conscience and that something's bothering you. Otherwise, you would not be even attempting to justify yourself. So, we need to deal with the mistakes involved in justifying yourself before men. The first mistake that people make when justifying themselves before men is that they justify sin. They find themselves justifying sin. And they've got, they got some points. They'll say, they will actually talk about sin as if it were a mistake or an error. Or they'll act like, there hasn't been a final word on whether that really is sin or not. Like we're just not real sure. I mean, you find people justifying sin all the time. You find young people justifying fornication. Because they can't for the life of them understand what could possibly be wrong. I mean, it's a victimless crime. It happens to be the greatest, most devastating, full of victims. So many victims that no other crime, no other sin has claimed more victims. Fornication. You need to think about this. Upwards of 30 million people a year die because of fornication. You say, how could that be? They kill them. They kill the fruit of fornication all the time. They kill them without a conscience. And then they wipe their mouth and say, I've done nothing wrong. They find themselves justifying sin. Is it just love between two teenagers, innocent, pure? They call their children born out of wedlock love children. You think God might have a reason to say, flee from fornication. Let not fornication be once named among you.
That's right.
Not once. Could God have a point? But while you sit and try to justify your pet sins, God's saying that's a mistake. You're making the mistake of justifying sin. Something I find, God says, I find abominable. Something I hate. And you're justifying it. You're making a huge mistake. Now, is your sin a mistake? Is it simply an error in judgment? You talk to somebody, well, we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. No, we're not talking about mistakes. If your sins are just mistakes, just forget it. Oops, sorry. You just say, oops. Took care of it. If it's just a mistake, don't justify it. Just say, oh, sorry, that was a mistake. I didn't really mean to say that ugly, mean thing. I didn't really mean to offend you. But what if you really did mean to offend? What if maybe you had some evil motives in your words? What if you had evil motives for putting that thing in your pocket and walking out with it? What if you had evil motives for the lies you tell? For the things you tell your girlfriend. For the places you go. Not mistakes. Not innocent errors. Sin. You know the difference. One involves, oh, oops, I'll fix that. And the other involves, oh, no, I'm guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. I don't just feel guilty and need somebody to comfort me. I am guilty and I deserve consequences. And what can I do? That's what sin is. I mean, surely don't we all understand what sin is? Don't you know the difference between an innocent mistake and sin? Yeah, you know the difference. Why then do you talk about mistakes? Why do you talk about errors? When God is not condemning you for mistakes. He's not condemning you for errors. You didn't fall into that. You walked willingly, step after step after step, rejecting stop sign after stop sign after stop sign. And then, when you were in the middle of it, you say, oops, I messed up. That's where the analogies start falling apart, when we start worrying about all the people out in the heathen lands, you know, and they're just like shipwrecked people and they just need help. Oh, if only we were just shipwrecked and needed a Savior to save us from that innocent, tragic shipwreck. But it's not the, it's an analogy that falls apart, because these are not shipwrecked people. These are guilty people. You see, the problem is way deeper than, you know, a bad, tragic accident. It's sin. And you know, sin is not a disease.
Right. That's right.
Mark it down. Now, I know that a lot of people have addictions, and it's tough.
Yeah.
I'm not making light of your addictions. In fact, I would say most of the people in this room have addictions. They might not be physical addictions that, you know, you physically just cannot get away from. But they're addictions, because, you know, mental addictions, psychological addictions, they can be pretty tough too. That's why you ought to flee fornication, you ought to flee pornography, you ought to flee drugs, you ought to flee alcohol, you ought to flee all these things that have a tendency to grab your mind and never let go.
That's right.
Run from them. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. But it's not a disease.
That's right.
It's a decision. You made a decision. And now you're suffering consequences of your decisions. Let me tell you something. Drunkenness is not a disease. Your problem is not that you got infected accidentally by some disease. Your problem is not that you inherited this propensity, this drunkenness gene. Now, when we finally isolate it, we can get rid of drunkenness. Good luck with that. Isolate that gene and somehow fix it. And get rid of drunkenness out of the human population. And even if they could, so that we no longer enjoyed losing our minds somehow, then what are you going to do with all the other addictions? Is there a pornography gene? Is there a kleptomaniac gene? Covetous gene? Oh yeah, they're all there. It's not a disease. It's a decision. Your first step, if you really want to get right, your first step is don't justify your sin. It's a mistake. It's not a communal decision. Sin is not a community decision. It's your own individual decision. You see, because some people say, well, everybody does it. And they actually take comfort in being in the shadow of a huge crowd. You see, if you go where everybody's going, you feel like, well, you know, I'm not any worse than anybody else. And what you don't understand is your sin was not their decision. If you walked the way the crowd is walking, you're the one who made that decision to walk that direction. And they are not going to stand in the judgment for you. Everyone will be finally separated and stand before God alone. So your decision cannot be tossed aside saying, everybody does it. It's the normal thing. I mean, if everybody does it, how bad could it be? It's not a majority vote. It just doesn't matter how many people are in favor. And you know, sin is never restricted to ideal situations. Because you'll always have someone explaining the extenuating circumstances that they fell into this sin over. And you don't realize that that's why it's called temptation. It's not an easy circumstance. Sin happens under difficult circumstances, so you can't excuse your sin by saying, but it was difficult circumstances. I mean, I was tired, or I was frustrated, or I was drunk. And that's why I did that. What kind of difficult situation have you put yourself in that you think can it possibly excuse your sin? Don't justify your sin by explaining your difficult situation, because that's when it counts. Beating temptation only works if there's a temptation. So if there's a temptation, that's when you have to beat it. And if you don't beat it under difficult circumstances, you sinned. That's what the test is about. You cannot justify sin. Remember, God knows your heart. You can't fool God. He knows. Oh, you can say, but I didn't know. You can say, but nobody told me. You can say, but say whatever you want. God knows. You see the mistake here. You think God doesn't know? You know something else? God is smart. He is smart. You might outwit me. Not likely, but you might. But you ain't going to outwit God. Oh, you think you got a real good argument, do you? Have you ever been in an argument and got shut up? I have. I kept talking, but I got shut up. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Somebody catches you off guard and whoop! But you're not going to catch God off guard. So go ahead with your big, highfalutin arguments. Go ahead and explain to God just all of your thoughts, because you're so deep in all your ways of thinking. Explain to God your sin. Did you know that God is smart? He's smarter than you. He thought it all before. And He's heard it all. You're going to come up with something new? You got the excuse for that sin. Finally, after 6,000 years of human history, you hit upon the reason for your sin that's going to satisfy God. I don't think so. You cannot justify sin. Remember one more thing. God hates your sin. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. It's just not an okay thing for God. You can shrug it off. You can wink the eye, you know. You can... Not God. First mistake is justifying sin. Your second mistake is justifying yourself. Do you disrespect God's law so much and God's judgment so much and God the judge so much? Do you disrespect Him so much that you would enter into such a cash... into this judgment in such a casual way that you would represent yourself? You see, because if someone gets accused of stealing or murder or something difficult in our situation, get accused of that and have no more fear of what could happen to him, that he would say, oh, it's okay, I'll just go in and explain things myself. I'll just go in and represent myself. They say the lawyer that represents himself has a fool for a client, right? Are you going to represent yourself? You're the one that's going to justify yourself. You decided that you're not in such a terrible way that you're going to justify yourself. You see, it's a mistake to justify yourself. You are no expert. You have never even had an original thought. I have. One or two. No, not really. The truth is, we're all just a bunch of followers. There is nothing new under the sun. You're just a follower. Here's somebody talking about how, you know, they got this new thing. No, no, it's not new. It's old. It's old news. You're going to represent yourself. You're going to talk. Seriously, you're going to actually try to get yourself off of this horrible condemnation that's coming by your own wisdom and your own arguments and your own thoughts. You are hopelessly out of your league. Your accuser, been around a long time. He's seen it all, and he's made people a whole lot stronger than you fall. You cannot defend yourself. You cannot justify yourself. It's a huge mistake to even try to justify yourself. You are not the judge. So you can't make a judgment. You wouldn't know. You know, judging is hard. Now, I realize some things are easy. You know, some little things, yeah, they're easy. But there are other things that are difficult. You hear some of the judges and the decisions they have to make? They're hard. I don't know how. I don't know how to decide these things. I'm amazed by the wisdom some judges have shown. And it does not surprise me that some judges have not shown so much wisdom. Because decisions are hard. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to deal with these sins? You can't even explain to God why He's angry. You don't even understand why He doesn't like that sin. You read the law sometimes and wonder, well, why not? Why not? Why can't we? Why can't we see the kid in his mother's milk? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why we can't see the kid in his mother's milk. God said that, but I don't know. I don't understand. How are you going then to justify yourself before God when you don't have even the simple wisdom of a judge, even of a human judge? Don't be foolish. You're not even the victim. How can you possibly justify yourself when you do not feel both sides? You don't understand. You cannot possibly understand. You're not the victim. God's the victim. And you ought to know you're not impartial. Obviously, you're not impartial. And did you know that people who are not impartial never tell the truth? Just ask anybody here who's a policeman. Go up on an accident and ask them, what happened? The people involved in the accident, whew, something's wrong there. You just can't even trust anything they say. And you know, most eyewitnesses around give conflicting histories too. You can't even get a clear eyewitness testimony of what happened here. You're not even an impartial observer. You don't even keep your eyes open most of the time. You half the time are not paying attention when your eyes are wide open. How can you justify yourself? You're not even close. It's a huge mistake for you to be justifying yourself. To think in some way you can save yourself. You can fix the problem with God. Don't be foolish. And that is exactly what you do. You make a fool of yourself. Every time you open your mouth to justify yourself, you make a fool of yourself. You make a liar out of yourself. You think everybody else is stupid. You can't even justify yourself before other men. Go ahead and try it. Other men will point out your flaws in judgment. Other men will point out how unreasonable you are. Other men can point out where you're sinning. Other people can look at you and say you're wrong here, here, and here. If they don't, they're pretending to be nice. But they're not being nice. You need to understand. Your friend will tell you the truth. And they'll point out how you're wrong. And if you can't justify yourself in front of other men, how do you expect to justify yourself in front of God? Remember, this is important to remember. In the judgment, you will be alone. No advocate, no lawyer, no Virgin Mary hovering over you. You will be altogether alone. Justify yourself. Don't you realize you need help? I mean, seriously, can't you see this is a huge mistake? You need help. The third mistake is doing this, justifying yourself before men. And last time we checked, men have nothing to do with it. Did you realize that if you could actually get every man that ever lived on this earth to agree with you, it would be meaningless? Do you think God would care? Do you care what idiots think? Do you care about the testimony of liars? Are you interested in a bunch of drunkards taking up your cause? We have that happen sometimes, preaching the gospel, and some drunk will come up and say, "Amen, I agree with that." He's not doing us any favors. He's not helping us out, and we're not endorsing it. We're not saying, "Yeah, come on, we got a lot of people on our side, look." That's nonsense. You don't need to justify yourself before men. So what? Let's say they all agree with you. Will they tomorrow? Did you realize that men are fickle? Men can agree with you today and tomorrow be absolutely against you. Just ask Jesus. One day they're saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, great. One glory in the highest." Next day, "Crucify him." The same people. They're the same crowd. Same Jerusalem crowd. "Crucify him." What happened to them? My goodness, who knows? Space of less than a week, they just completely turned. 180. So, you're justifying yourself. You know, that's exactly what you're doing. Because this is exactly what just about everybody does. They're justifying themselves before men. Do you realize that's why people wear religious habits? You think God cares what you're wearing? You think God cares about the color of your shirt and which way your collar's facing? He doesn't care. He doesn't care whether you're wearing, you know, tennis shoes or you're wearing boots. He don't care whether you combed your hair this morning. He doesn't even care if you bathed. He knows your heart. Now, other people, well, you know, they'll look at somebody that's all dressed up spiffy. He'll have a satin robe on and a big old hat that sticks up in the air, and they'll say, "He's holy." And God will say, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't have a clue. You can't see the heart." I wonder what would make anybody wear those kind of clothes. It's just because they want to impress men. People. What about giving to charity? You ever seen a panhandler and kind of feel that pang in your heart and say, "You know, I'm going to help him out. You want to pull out a dollar or give him $5? Panhandler. Somebody comes up to you. You know, they have actually raised this to an art form in Mexico. It's an art form. Because they know how to just come right up and say, and you kind of, you want to give to him just to get him to go away. Just because it's embarrassing. And then if you say, no, thank you, well, then you feel kind of, oh, man. Everybody looks at you and says, "See? It's all before men. And it's all about before men." Makes me wonder why a lot of churches pass an offering plate.
Yeah. That's right.
Hello. Why do you... You know, I got to the place where I wouldn't give to an offering plate. Because I felt pressure. I didn't want to just pass it on. I didn't want to get change out, you know, put in a 20 and get 10 back. You feel bad. Why? Because men are watching. And they like that pressure on you, you know, put the pressure on you. You'd be better off not giving anything.
That's right.
You're doing it before men. Before men. What does that have to do with anything? Men. Men cannot condemn you. They cannot. So why justify yourself before them? Men cannot condemn you. Who cares what liars say? Who cares what thieves think? Who cares? God doesn't care. Justice doesn't care. The law doesn't care. The Holy Spirit doesn't care. Why do you care what other men think? They can't condemn you. I got news for you. They can't save you either. There's no man that can save you. There's no human out there that has any answers for your spiritual condition. They can't bless you with the sign of the cross. They can't throw holy water on you that will make any difference to God. They can't dunk you in water. They can't sit you. They can't dress you in a certain way. They can't do anything at all to save you. Even if you could convince them you were worth saving. They cannot forgive you. They can't even forgive you. First of all, you're not the victim. And only the victim can forgive. I'm sorry, only the victim can forgive. If you don't understand this about forgiveness, then I'm sorry, we need to teach it a little bit better. Yeah. Only the victim can forgive your sins. No priest can forgive your sins.
Right.
He can say, I forgive you in the name of the Father, Holy Spirit, but he cannot forgive your sins. He can say it all he wants. Another thing is, the priest doesn't know your heart. And so anything he says, God might say, nah, I don't think so. Because you don't know anything. You know, they say, well, if we bind on earth, then God binds it in heaven. And God is thinking, I don't think so. You just forgave that guy? Are you kidding? How can that priest know? How can that priest avoid making a mistake and saying, I forgive you because I think you... It doesn't matter. It's just a waste of time. Why would you even try to justify yourself before men? You realize that all men are accessories? They're right smack in the middle of the same stuff you are. So let's say that men justify you. Let's say, well, I think it's okay that he stole. But he's a thief too. Well, what'd you expect? Can anybody possibly care that one thief defends another thief? That one liar defends another liar? That one fornicator defends another fornicator? It cannot even possibly matter. Why do you make this huge mistake of justifying yourself before men? You justify yourselves before men when you hide your sins. Because God knows your hearts, right? God knows what you've done. God knows what you thought. God knows what you intended. When you hide your sin, what you're doing is justifying yourself before men. Because men can't see it. And men don't know. And men will take you at face value, maybe. They'll take your word for it. And then, you know, they're kind of on your side. Yeah, they'll pat you on the back. It's okay. We want you to feel better about yourself, not feel so guilty. You'll find men putting up signs in front of their church saying, we don't condemn. We don't judge. We accept everybody. We're just like a trash can. We don't refuse anybody. That's because all they care about is what men think. We don't judge you. You're right, you don't. You got nothing to say about it. You might ought to find out what God thinks about it. And when somebody agrees with you and pats you on the back and you feel a little bit of comfort, it's just before men. You see, because a lot of people go to church because they want that comfort. It's just before men. If somebody agrees with you and says, you know, I think you're right, it's okay, and you feel comforted, it's because you have this way of thinking that it matters what men think. But it doesn't. You see, because you can feel all the comfort you want coming out of Mass. Yeah, you feel nice and warm and comfortable. Everything feels good. Everything is right with the world again. But you've justified yourselves before men, and all you've cared about is men's opinion and men's thoughts. And it is a waste of time. You don't know anything yet. You have to find out what God thinks about it. The real insanity, then, not just these mistakes, but it goes much further than that, and that these men actually bordered on insanity here. When we have Jesus Christ going to all this trouble, bringing the kingdom of God, redeeming sinners, and going about to justify sinners the right way, and we find men deriding Him. You see, because He says, oh, I'm going to tell you your problem. You have this problem that you're justifying yourselves before men. You have this problem because you're covetous. You have this problem because you can't serve two masters. You've got a problem. And they're deriding Him because they're covetous. That's insanity. This is the one with the answers. This is the one that got the solution. And these aren't temporary answers. And these aren't shortcuts. And there's no bargaining involved. He's going to pay the full price.
Amen.
And you're deriding him? You know what else is insane? Is forgetting altogether about justification before God while you're thinking about justification before men.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time. Right now, in this morning, this Sunday morning, people are worried about justifying themselves before men and absolutely forgetting altogether about being just before God. It doesn't cross their mind. We justify ourselves before men, and so it never crosses our minds to look for justification before God. What a horrible mistake. What insanity. You do realize that God is the judge, and the judgment is coming. Death is coming, and after this, the judgment. Judgment is coming. Are you just before God? Have you sought that justification which comes from God? So that God might say, I find him innocent. I find no fault in him. Does God say that about you? If he doesn't, why in the world aren't you seeking that? Why are you worried about what men think? Why are you seeking any kind of justification from men? Why would you worry about baptism? Or wearing a habit? Or lighting a candle? Or confessing before men and doing some penance? Why do you even care about those things? You need to worry about what God thinks. You need to worry about that judgment that's coming that men have nothing to do with, that cannot help you with. It's insanity to have Jesus Christ, the one man who never even attempted to justify himself. He had no reason to. I mean, they might have accused him of being a wine bibber. He didn't deny, he didn't rebuff, he didn't rebuke, he didn't... Whatever you think. Water off a duck's back. Take half a baby aspirin, be better. He didn't care what you thought. Because he was just. And this man, in the business of justifying sinners, he was eating with sinners. He was forgiving sins. If any of these men that were trying to justify themselves before men had just stopped and thought about what this meant, they could have stopped the charades and learned how to be just before God. They could have learned how to be just before God. Without leaps of logic. No huge roundabout mental gymnastics trying to come up with some way to justify sin. No, Jesus isn't doing that. It's not going to be some charade, some smoky thing somewhere where you're burning incense over here and doing this kind of sign over here and holding up something over here and then doing this and everybody's standing, somebody's sitting down. No charades. No show. No empty words. He was going to go and pay the price and justify sinners.
Amen.
Not by any shortcut. No bargaining, nothing temporary. He was going to solve the problem. What insanity is it for someone then to deride him?
Yeah.
To not seek him out with all their heart. He didn't leave it to anybody else either. Didn't put it off till later. He said, I'm going to justify men the right way. I'm going to pay the price by dying on the cross. Pay the full price. I'm going to accept all of God's wrath on me, and I'm going to justify every single one that trusts in me.
Amen.
Justified before God. Not justified before men. Not that you have a lot of your friends saying, I think you're right. But that you might have God saying, He's right. I accept Him. God, the one whose opinion matters, God and God only.
Amen.
When then will you stop justifying your sin? When will you stop justifying your sin? When will you quit trusting in yourself? This is talking about the justification that works. Why do you care and why would you keep on looking for men to agree with you? Why wouldn't you totally and absolutely reject any man's opinion about it and say, I want God's opinion on it. I want God to finally say He is just. He is righteous. By that righteousness which comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Justified before God no matter what men say. No matter what the devil says. No matter what the law says. No matter even what your own conscience says. He says, I will justify these sinners by what Jesus Christ does on the cross. What insanity would it be for you to pass that up? Let's pray. Lord, You're right. You're the only one that matters. Your opinion matters. Your law was right. You've done everything right. We've done it wrong, Lord. We confess our sins. We don't hide our sins, Lord. We know we're sinners. We know it's wrong. We also know what You did in Jesus Christ. You know that You laid down Your life to justify us. And so, Lord, we trust in that. We trust in that only. You laid down Your life to justify us. Thank You, Lord. If there's someone here that has not accepted You as their Savior, have not come to lean on You for their justification, Lord, I ask You to touch them and save their soul. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing in closing number 252. You can stand. If you've got something you want to get right, the altar's open. Number 252, only trust Him. And if you want to be saved and you want to know how, you want someone to explain to you how, just come forward or talk to any one of these ones with Bibles up here in the front and we'll show you how to be saved. Let's sing. Come in.